Brooklyn's Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
Brooklyn's Radio is at the Great Weybridge Cake-Off, an artisan market on Saturday the 29th of April. The event was organised by the Weybridge Town Business Group, and the judges for the Great Weybridge Cake-Off were Ruth Langsford, broadcaster, Chris Backman of Backman's Chocolatiers, Robert Navarro of Waitrose, Dorinda Brittle from Weybridge WI, and Jonathan Woodgate from Simply Cakes. Let's join our team of Jill Bennett, James Harvey, and first of all Barry Richards as they meet those taking part.
There are various categories of cakes. We're going to go through those a little bit later on. But at the moment, I'm just joined by a lovely lady called Emma, and you've just displayed your cake. Hi, Emma, where are you from?
I'm actually from Guildford, so not far, but I used to live close by to Weybridge not long ago. And, it's a fantastic event today, and I thought I'd enter myself in.
So you come all the way from Guildford. How did you get to hear about the event?
Just through looking up things to do around Surrey, and it sort of popped up, and I've got my enjoyment from doing cakes and things. I thought, why not give it a go and see what happens?
So you're a regular cake baker?
I am, yes, I am. It runs in my family, so I learned everything, all my skills from my mother, so I'm very pleased that I'm here today, and she's very happy that I'm here today, so
Okay, and what category have you entered your cake into today?
I've entered myself into a celebratory cake, and it's one of my favourites. I always do them for my friends and family for birthdays and things like that, so see what comes out of it today.
So you've got to do this semi-professionally by the sound of things.
Oh, no. Certainly not yet, but you never know. Maybe in the future, if people like what I do, so who knows?
So we've moved away from where your cake is, because we're competing with Brooklyn's Radio, our own station here. Tell us about your cake.
Well, my cake is the ultimate chocolate gooey cake. It's got three different layers of different chocolate cakes, plus sort of a chocolate fudge brownie cake as well, with chocolate caramel and chocolate buttercream filling, with a chocolate fudge buttercream outer layer, and dark chocolate and caramel dripping, with lots and lots of chocolate decorations as well.
It sounds and looks chocolate. Lovely.
Everything chocolate.
You clearly don't eat a lot of your own cake, looking at you, because you're very slim to your ladies, so well done.
Thank
now,
you.
What do you think of the competition today?
Oh, the standards are high, they really are. Some of them are absolutely fantastic. The effort that people put in is brilliant, and I always get enjoyment from seeing inspiration from others, so it's fantastic that everyone's come here today for the first Weybridge Cake Off.
It's great, isn't it? And were you inspired also by the television programme?
Oh, yeah. No, big fan. Big fan. I'll still continue to watch it. And all the professional ones, like MasterChef and, you know, the Creme de la Creme that's on at the moment. Big fan of all those. Get loads of inspiration and things like that from people that are in the business. So,
Emma, lovely talking to you today, and the very best of luck with your entry. What
Thank
time
you.
Is judging, do you know?
I think it's at 12:30.
So you're going to hang around for that?
I'll be hanging around for that, definitely. Go and enjoy the market as well.
Okay, lovely to talk to you, Emma.
Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm here at the Weybridge Cake Off even, with a very lovely young lady who's baked her own cake. Would you like to tell us what your name is?
Olivia,
okay. So Olivia has baked a cake here at the Weybridge Bake Off. Olivia, tell us how you got into baking.
I just sort of, my grandma bought me a cooking book, and I wanted to bake some cakes in it, and then I found the cake that I'm baking today, which is a double chocolate fudge cake.
Wow, that sounds yummy.
It's sort of like a party kids fun cake.
Okay. Olivia, how old are you?
Seven.
You're seven? Well, I've seen your cake. Can you describe it for our listeners?
It's got milk chocolate icing on it, and it's got these like small circles and sprinkles on, and grated chocolate.
Well, it sounds yummy, and I have to say it looks very pretty and very yummy and very professional. And I'm amazed at 7 years old that you've been able to bake that. What do you do? Have you got any designs of being a baker when you grow up?
I'm not really sure.
Maybe we could see you on the Great British Bake Off in years to come.
Yeah.
That would be quite exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Olivia, thank you so much. I'm going to keep my fingers and everything crossed in the hope that you're one of the winners today.
Yeah.
Thank you. thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
It's a pleasure. I'm here today with Karen Harris and Weybridge Cake Off, and they run a fantastic company here. Tell us a little bit, Karen, about the things that you're selling here today.
Okay, my name's Karen and I make things out of fused glass. So I've got pictures and posters and plates, flattened bottles. My sister's with me. She does things with sea glass, so she collects glass at the sea and she makes lovely pictures as well. So it all really quite goes well together.
Well, I have to say, looking at the things here, they are incredible. And what a wonderful idea to be reusing them, recycling things and making things from just scraps and whatever. How did you get into this?
It started as a hobby. I'm actually a teacher, so I'm always keen to learn new skills, and as my children got older and had a bit more time, and it's just taken over my life. So now actually I don't do any teaching at all, other than I do run courses, so I teach people how to do this, which is a real passion of mine.
Okay so I know your sister's not keen to talk on the microphone to us, but I'd love to. How did she get into making things with the sea glass?
She lives in Norfolk, so she's actually come to stay with me for the weekend. We're actually at Ardenly the next 2 days, so we thought, oh, another one. So actually I was in St Lucia last week and I was looking for sea glass on the beach for her there, because Norfolk isn't very good for sea glass because it's not very beachy. So she actually goes up to County Durham, where it's really good to collect sea glass because there used to be Victorian glass factories there. So she often makes a trip up there about once a year to collect the glass.
Okay, and were you successful in St Lucia?
And I've got other trips coming up. I'm going to Ireland, so it's going to be on my list to go to Ireland to see if when I'm in Ireland.
That means you also have glass.
Okay, so if any of our listeners out there know particularly good beaches for sea glass, then please let us know and we'll pass on the information to these lovely ladies. And if you're around and about in Wales today, please come down. Some wonderful things here and some great things that you could give as gifts. Do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's Gay Designs Online. You'll find me on Facebook, K Designs Online, so you can find me there.
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you very much for talking to us today. I'm here at the moment at the Weybridge Cake Off with Sarah McCormack. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
Sarah is a Stella and Dot stylist. That's the right term, isn't it? Stylist. Okay. Sarah, tell us a little bit about Stella and Dot.
Well, Stella & Dot is a boutique-style jewellery company. It's been in the UK since 2011, and all the jewellery is absolutely gorgeous. It's sold just through events and at home parties, and it's just a flexible way to earn a bit of extra money. I love it because I love all the jewellery. It fits in around my family and everything else that I do. So, yeah, it's just a great thing to do, really.
Okay, and how did you get introduced to it?
I used to buy lots of the jewellery myself, and then I just thought I might as well start earning some money from it. And like I said, it is flexible, so that's what I like, really. I love the jewellery, and that's what keeps me selling it, because I just love it. So.
Okay, and you've got 2 boys?
I got 3, actually. 3 boys.
Okay, so it's ideal, this sort of business, for busy mums.
It is ideal, yes. You can earn a good extra income. Even if you work in another job, you can still do this alongside it. There's no kind of monthly targets or anything, so it is just really flexible. And if you can do it as a full-time job, as earn as much as you want, or just a little hobby on the side. It's great, yeah.
Okay, and so you were introduced to it by another lady?
I was actually used to live in America, where it comes from. It's an American company, and I used to buy it when I lived in America. And then I came over here and then I met a couple of stylists who told me how great it was. So, yeah, I decided to do it myself. So,
okay. And if people want to have a look at the jewellery with a view to maybe buying something or just having a look, do you have a website?
I do, yes. It's stella.co.uk and then / my name, which is Sarah McCormack.
Okay, brilliant. Sarah, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
So I'm here with Catherine at the Great Weybridge Bake Off. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Good afternoon.
Catherine runs a company called Little Kitchen. Tell us what Little Kitchen is.
Little Kitchen supplies baking kits for children. So it's basically a deconstructed baking kit. Everything inside is weighed, natural organic ingredients for you to have a really fun baking session with your children.
Oh, that sounds lovely. And it's what sort of things do you have?
At the moment, we've got four in the range, so we'd have cookies, chocolate or vanilla cupcakes, or sticky ice buns.
Sounds yummy.
Very yummy, yes.
So, Catherine, tell us how you got into running Little Kitchen.
Well, it all started from having been a childminder for over 25 years, but I used to love baking with the children that I looked after and missed it once I stopped doing it. So I was trying to find a way of helping parents who I really appreciate are very busy these days, being able to bake with their children, making it an interesting activity. And all the cake mixes in supermarkets for me were just very airy-fairy and full of rubbish. So I've now produced something that's full of natural and organic ingredients that you can have in your cupboard ready for that moment when the children say, oh mum, can we do some cooking and baking? So it's all there for you.
No, that makes it nice and easy for mums, doesn't it? And I think, and I'm sure you feel the same, it's so important to bake with your children and teach them to cook.
It's very, very important. And if they see what's actually going into something, then they're more likely to enjoy it and become interested in baking and cooking generally.
Yeah, no, that's right. I've got a son and a daughter, and even my son, before he went to university, I taught him to cook the basics, pasta dishes, rice dishes, cheap dishes that I knew he could cook himself.
Absolutely, it's a really good idea, and they learn to love it, and they learn to eat the right things as well.
Yeah, and my daughter loves baking. She's 17 now, and I'll quite often get home and find she's just gone in the kitchen and knocked up a cake.
Yeah, well, that's because it's very relaxing as well. And if they're under stress, especially students at that age, there's nothing nicer than just relaxing, baking a cake and sitting down, obviously eating it with a cup of tea afterwards. It's lovely.
Yeah, no, that's the nicest part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much. Tell us what your website is, please.
You can find my products on www.littlek.co.uk.
Brilliant. And if people, I don't know whether this is something where someone could join you and as a sales agent, is that possible?
I haven't quite got there yet, I have to say, but I just travel around at the moment to local artisan markets and fetes, and I'm just going to see where it goes.
Okay, well, thank you so much for talking to us again. Let's have that website detail one more time.
It's www.littlek.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have Tom from Orley Art with me today. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. We're here and it's sort of bright and sunny and there's some really fantastic artisan people here, and I'm next to Be Inspired, who this wonderful woman is selling some beautiful bee stuff. So I can't be happier, really.
I know. She's been a guest on my show on Brooklands. She does do some wonderful things. So Orley Art, tell us a little bit about what Orley Art is.
So Orley Art is a company. We make art for kids. And the idea behind it is to be inspirational, slightly educational, but we like bright colours and we like science and we like people to use their imagination. And the idea really started from when I was about 5 years ago. My daughter turned one, I was going to say, but there's another story with that. And we couldn't find anything that we really wanted in her to put into her bedroom. So we looked around and then I decided to make my own things, which she liked. So she's had lots of things in her room for a while. My friends saw some, they liked them. And since then I've been making them for other people.
Fantastic. And Tom, is this your full-time job?
So it is my full-time job now. And it has been for one day.
So you've just given up your job?
I gave up my job. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I left my job in the city and I worked locally so I could look after my daughter for a little while. But then last around Christmas, my wife and I were talking about who earned the most money, and she earns £28 more a year than I did. So I was luckily able to give up.
How wonderful.
It's the best thing that's ever happened. So now we concentrate on this and we're trying to grow the business. But the idea really is just to encourage people to put interesting things in their children's rooms. And although we think that there are some fantastic companies out there that sell some very nice things for nurseries, we like bright and bold and interesting colours. And we wanted to throw some modern art in. We wanted to throw some sparks from people's imaginations, and that's informed what we do.
Do you know, there's lots of research and psychology behind putting bright colours in kids' rooms, isn't there? And looking at your stand here today, you know, I mean, the bass, the owls. My mum loves owls. I should maybe buy one for her. She's in her 80s.
Oh, right. Yeah, lots of people like ours. My friend is a Brazilian, and he says that ours are extremely big in Brazil. So I was on a stall next to him for a little while last year, and I made an owl specifically for that, and it's great. All the Brazilians come to me now for their owls.
That's amazing.
Yeah, apparently. I'm not entirely sure it's true, but, you know, it might be, and they seem to like them. It's great.
That's all that matters. Yes. So, people can buy your art by going to your website. What's your website details?
So, website is www.orlyart.co.uk, which is O-R-L-Y-A-R-T. I have to remember that. It's named after my first daughter, Orla. I've just had a second daughter who's 5 months old called Aoife. So look out for Aoife art at some point.
Or something else.
Or something else. And you can find us on Etsy as well, if you just search for Orly Art. And everything is on there. And we're very reasonably priced. And we're amazing. And it's very unique.
And so lots of online sales.
Yeah, we do quite a lot of online sales. We like to do markets because it enables us to get to talk to people. And when I do a better job of rambling than I am now, it means that you kind of explain some of the depth to the pictures, if that's the right word to use. And just really to talk to people about how you can inspire your children to improve their imagination, their creativity, almost from the point that they're born. And I know that my daughter's benefited from having some of our pictures on her wall. We make up stories about the animals. We talk about the space stuff, the science behind it. And although we don't know whether she'll ever be a quantum physicist or a modern artist or something, we feel that she's on the right track. And she's using language that other children are still developing. And she understands the concepts, if not entirely. And she is benefiting from it. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation with a five-year-old when they know more about, you know, modern art than you do.
And let's hope she does become a quantum physicist, if that's a physicist, if that's the right word. Yeah. Okay, Tom, thank you so much for talking to us today.
My pleasure, and I hope you have a really great day.
Thank you, you too. I've got Alison Derrick with me, an old favourite on our show, who runs a lovely company called Be Inspired. Good afternoon, Alison.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so we've all heard from Alison before, but for those who haven't heard that interview, just tell us a little bit about Be Inspired.
Well, I'm a beekeeper, and so I've embraced the qualities of honey and beeswax for the skin, because it's got the most beautiful moisturising qualities. And I'm not very happy with lots of products on the market that contain petrochemicals, so I make a range of natural lotions and skin creams with essential oils that give benefits to the skin, as well as smelling gorgeous. And they're very effective creams. They're lovely. And award-winning, too.
Yes, yeah, they are award-winning. And I agree with you. Petrochemicals, people, if you're still using them on your skin, get rid of them. You know, there have been people set on fire because of the creams they've put on their skin.
And also the preservatives that people are using, and they're becoming highly reactive.
The parabens that they use to preserve lots of ingredients are cancer-causing.
Yes, and people are building up because they're using them in... It's used in foods, it's used in washing up liquids, in shampoos, and in skincare, and people are overloading. So keep it simple. And keep it
simple. And deodorant, I say this so often on my show, look at your deodorants. Yes. And just get rid of the ones with parabens and aluminium in.
The aluminium's an issue, isn't it? Whereas I was given a salt stone some years ago, and that's all I use. It's wonderful.
No, I use a natural minty-based deodorant, which seems to work. Okay, so what we want to talk about today is your honey.
Oh, yes. Now, this is the time of year where anybody who has hay fever really ought to be taking a spoon of honey a day from their locality, because the bees are visiting plants and trees that you may well be allergic to. The nectar that they're collecting will have the elements of the pollens, and also we don't overly filter our honeys, so there's still quite a lot of pollen in natural local honey.
So that helps to desensitise you from those pollens.
And people really ought to start taking it earlier in the year. And in fact, if you take a spoonful every day of the year, you'll find that you don't get as many colds either. But certainly, if you're suffering from hay fever now, then do come and find us. I've collaborated with the Weybridge Beekeepers Association. So we've probably got about 6 different local honeys, because it's far more relevant to have their honey here than to bring mine. And there are a few other things that people can do, which I never thought about in all the years that I was having hay fever, is that don't hang your washing out on the line. It acts like a sail. And the sail collects all the pollen. And then if you've got your bedding out, then of course you go to bed and then you're ingesting it all through the night.
I never thought about that. That's a really good point.
Very simple. And, you know, your house becomes a bit like a Chinese laundry, but it's worth doing for those really bad periods. And I also used to put a tiny little bit of lip balm around my nose and around my eyes just to try and catch the pollen before it got in there.
Oh, there's some really, really good tips there. And your honey does look... What's this?
This is mustard that I've made with the honey. So I have two lots of mustard, one with chilli, one with tarragon. And delicious, delicious for cooking with.
Well, I might have to buy one of those today and take it home because it does look rather delicious.
So the most local honey we've got today is from Greenlands Road. And then there is some a little bit further afield out towards Ottershaw and Walton. And Cobham.
Okay, but if people can't get local honey, I've heard, you know, all honey will help.
Oh yes, but not the supermarket honey, really, because it's blended and overly filtered. But
overly processed, but yeah, any good sort of homemade.
Absolutely, and people can go to the website of the British Beekeepers Association, which is, I think it's britishbees.org. But if you type in British Beekeepers Association, you can then put in your postcode and you can find your local association, ring them and ask who's got local honey. Easily done.
Very easily done. And Alison, give us your website so that we can have a look at your wonderful products and get our orders in and our gift orders in.
Thank you. It's the three W's, B-E-E-B, inspiredcreams.buzz, B-U-Z-Z.
Fantastic. Thank you once again for talking to us.
Thank you.
I'm joined now by Leslie Blackburn. And hello, Leslie.
Hi. Hello there.
Hello. And you've got lots of nice artist paintings here today. Tell us a bit more about them.
Well, I trained as an artist in 1979. But in those days, there weren't sort of websites and computers and so on. So I then trained as a nurse and a midwife. But in 2009, I basically turned full-time professional. And I'm a professional artist. I sell online, but I also do street fairs in Weybridge, Watlong Thames, and also Kingston Ancient Markets.
Right, okay. And is there a general theme with the paintings? Or is it a case of sort of a general... sort of anything that comes to mind?
Well, I try to cater for different people's tastes because not everybody likes the same thing, obviously. So some of my work is very impressionism, like the Provence painting and the sunflowers, very sort of... Van Gogh, if you like. And then some of my other paintings, I specialise in seascapes, which are not totally traditional, they're a bit sort of contemporary. And I also do lots of abstract painting as well.
Okay. I noticed you've got some tie-dye as well. I remember you doing that at school many years ago. So do you do more of that or paintings or a bit of each?
They're just like a little sideline, and they just sort of like they're actually sort of painted on silk, and they're just like extra sort of bits and bobs. I do little products and stuff from time to time. Say, you know, I've done sort of all sorts of things like wrapping paper, greeting cards, all sorts of things produced from my artwork.
Right, I see. And you have I noticed that they're all different sizes, so it's not always the big paintings. You also do some smaller paintings as well.
I do a few smaller paintings, but a lot of my paintings are quite big. But as I say, I do also do commissions as well. So if somebody's looking for something specifically, then I do commissions. I had a lady this morning that's going to come and have a commission, and she brought me a photograph of what she wants painting that she likes, and so she's going to come to my studio with a picture and I'm going to do it from there.
And how long does it take you to do a painting, roughly?
Sometimes less than a day.
Really? Because I always think that sort of these sort of paintings, because they're so detailed, that it would take sort of a week or a couple of weeks at least.
Oh, no. Probably like that one, maybe 3 days, as there's a lot of work in it. But, you know, sometimes I would be sort of like, oh, I finish it in a day.
Really? And how many hours do you reckon, roughly, do you take to do one of the paintings?
Well, that one, the Provence one, probably about 6 hours.
Really? I suppose as you become more experienced, you're able to do it a little bit quicker. Because at the first, did you find that you were quite slow to paint? Or was it, did something come to you really quickly?
No, not really. I do it quite quickly. Or I just get an idea in my head. Or I'll get a sort of like a theme, a colour scheme or something sort of like that. And just work from there, really.
And what sort of commissions have you had over the years?
I've had a number of commissions. Sometimes I do get commissions. People come from the fair and see something and actually do actually follow it through, and they come to the studio and they commission a painting. So I think last year I had about six sort of commissions in total. So looking. So sometimes it works quite well, yeah.
And I noticed that, because a lot of people do this sort of thing as a hobby rather than sort of doing it as a full-time business. So when you started, because you'd obviously changed your career, did you think at the start that I'll see how I go with this, or was it, I'm going to do this and it's going to be really, really successful?
No, it was a conscious decision. I mean, I've been painting professionally since 2009, but I had to give up my midwifery career, basically because my mother had dementia and she was living sort of at home, so I couldn't do shift work anymore. So, you know, my husband, you know, I knew that I could make money at doing it, and knew that I was selling. It was just only a question of how much more I could sell. So yeah, I've done very well. I have become, I'm one of the UK's best-selling artists, and I'm ranked about 16 on artgallery.co.uk.
Right, that's really good. So what's your website?
Oh gosh, lots of websites. It's www.artgallery.co.uk. I'm also with SaatchiArt.com in America, www.artfinder.com, www.arts2art.com, Ripping Them Art Online, the other one I've got, www.affordablebritishart.co.uk. So lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you're everywhere.
I am. But as an artist, you often do need to be everywhere, because what happens with sales is it's very sort of unpredictable. You may sell online one month and then not sell online another month, or you may do a lot better at a street fair one month, and that's how it goes, really.
Yes, that's right. Well, thank you very much, Leslie Arthur. And thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day today.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm here with Graham from Green Lake Woods. Good afternoon, Graham.
Good afternoon.
You've got some wonderful things here on your stall. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you have, what you sell.
We sell wooden products and metal products, which are all recycled. So all the birds you see on the table, they're made out of oil drums, and they're hand-painted, then lacquered so they can go outside. All the teak products are basically from a teak root, which is all natural on the ground, so it's not been chopped or anything like that. It's all recycled, and we make wine racks and plates and all different things. And we also have the metal fireballs, which go out in the garden, and they're the latest things.
Yeah, you've got some really, really interesting things here today. I love those wine racks. So can you tell us a little bit about where you source all your products from?
The metalwork comes from Zimbabwe, okay, and the most of the wood comes from Malaysia. So we go around sourcing them and seeing new things and helping people to make a living. So it's all recycled.
That's great. So it's helping people who may not have any other form of income, and it's all materials that are recycled.
Recycled, yeah, totally recycled. That's our philosophy, and I won't sell anything unless it's been recycled. It's like the olive wood. You're only allowed to chop the trees down when the olives are dead. And so then once they're dead, the trees are no good. Once the olives are gone, so we can make olive boards and other things.
Okay, that's a really, really interesting philosophy. And I've been to Malaysia, and I know there's some amazing artisans there. You see them at the side of the road, literally carving.
And that's where we get them from. It's not made in factories. They're made, we go out once a year, and then they come back, and they're shipped to us here.
So you're here today at Weybridge Great Cake Off, and tell us where else people can find you.
You can find us at Walton on the first of the month at the farmers market. We do Cobham, which is at the fourth Saturday of the month, and we also do a lot in Surrey, which is Tunbridge Wells, Westmorling, and Lenham. Also Epsom.
Okay, and tell us your website. Where do you list all the places you're going to be on your website?
We do it on our email, which is greenlakewoods@yahoo.co.uk.
That's fantastic. Graham, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with Cassie, who is the president of Weybridge WI. Hi, Cassie.
Hello.
It's good to see you here today. Can you tell us a little bit? I know Weybridge WI was relaunched recently, so maybe you can tell us a little bit about the relaunch.
Absolutely. So I wanted to join my local WI, but found out there was a wait list, and it ended up that I started a new one instead. So myself and two other ladies got together and formed, with the help of a Surrey advisor, formed Weybridge WI last January.
That's very, very exciting. So how do you do something like that?
Well, we had a lot of help from the advisor, but basically you just need to have a president, a secretary and a treasurer. And if you have those three roles, then a WI can form. We had to find a location. We had to get people to come along. So you hold an inaugural meeting, did a bit of publicising on Facebook and just through your local networks. People belong to choirs and running groups and that sort of thing. And we've grown to 75 members, I think we have now. So we've had to move venues already because we outgrew our first one. And yes, we're having lots of fun in our second year, really getting into the swing of things.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about, if people wanted to come along, what they could enjoy while they were there.
Well, so far we have had a real range of things, from making our own bunting in a sewing workshop to jewellery making, whiskey tasting. We've had talks from the ex-mayor of Elmbridge. We've had talk from a lady at Hampton Court Palace that told us about, let's call it, the love interests of the Tudor court. And the list is endless. We've done so many fabulous things. So we try to vary it between having a talk and having an activity.
Okay, that sounds great. So I guess if any of our listeners could offer you an interesting talk, they should get in touch as well.
Absolutely. We have a website and an email address, so you can find us at www.weybridgewi.com. We're also on Facebook at Weybridge WI, and you can email us at weybridgewi@gmail.com.
Okay, and where do you meet?
We meet at Weybridge Community Centre. Weybridge is a centre for the community, I should say, and that's in Churchfield Place, just behind the banks, up to the car park by Churchfield Recreation Ground.
I know where that is. Okay, well, that sounds really, really fascinating. Anybody out there who just wants to just make more friends and just have fun and do lots of different activities, I don't think there's anything worse you can do. I mean, I think it'd be great fun. So have a look at those on the website and on Facebook, and get yourself along to Weybridge WI. Cassie, thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I'm here with Eleanor at the Weybridge market today. We've had the great Weybridge Cake Off, which was great fun. And Eleanor's here today with Saffins. Tell us what saffins are, Eleanor.
Saffins are my version of a small savoury muffin. I call them saffins to distinguish them from muffins, which people tend to associate with something sweet. I came up with the notion of a small savoury muffin because personally I tend to prefer savoury snacks. Nothing against sweet things, but I like savoury snacks. I wanted deliberately to make something small, so they're mini muffin size, because I sell them in mix and match assortment. So that way people get to experience different flavours and it makes it more interesting to eat rather than eating through a great big sort of solid muffin. They're made with fresh, good ingredients. In fact, on balance, they're packed full of the ingredient rather than the muffin. So that's another reason why I didn't want to call them muffins and therefore saffins. I've been doing farmers markets and fairs and festivals. I'm based in Kingston. I've been doing fairs and festivals and farmers markets for the last 4.5 years. This is almost my 5th year now. This is my fourth stall in Weybridge. I was here last year, I think 3 or 4 times, and I'll be back in September.
So, obviously, your produce is loved by the local people.
It is, yes. They've been going down really well, selling like hot saffins. Which I do heat up. I've got a little oven, yeah. So for people who want to eat them on the move, mm-hmm. I warm them up for them.
A much healthier fast food.
Much healthier fast food. As I said, made with good ingredients, so plenty of your 5 or 10 a day these days.
10 a day, yeah.
Exactly.
And tell me, Eleanor, how did you get into this? What were you doing before?
So what I've, well, I still do it. I'm a freelance qualitative researcher. So this is a side business that I started, as I said, about 5 years ago now. I love food. I enjoy cooking. I wanted to do something. I've always wanted to do something food related. And I decided that this was the time to do it before I get too old. And I can't, because I actually do it all myself. Not only do I make everything, I shop, I prep, I also set up a stall entirely single-handed.
Wow.
So it keeps me fit. But I thought, do it now. Why wait, you know? So
absolutely, why wait?
I've always cooked. I'm a sort of long-standing home cook. I'd never had experience of professional kitchens. But a few years ago, so probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I decided in a quiet period to just speculatively approach a couple of well-known establishments to offer my labor for free in return for a bit of mentoring so that I could experience a professional kitchen. And that's what I did for a few months, and that gave me more confidence, I guess, and a few tricks of the trade in terms of how to organize and run a kitchen more commercially. And
do you know, that's a really good idea, because so many people might have an idea of how they could set up a business but not actually know how to go about it. But offering your services for free in that way is just, exactly. What a clever idea.
Thank you. Yeah. And people were very generous. So I did a stint at the Petersham Hotel in Richmond. And for something very different, one of the big Jumeirah hotels in Knightsbridge. So I actually got, you know, to experience some very different kitchens, which was very, very helpful.
No, that's very helpful. Well, that's fascinating. And I've just bought some of your saffins, so I should be trying those later on today.
Thank you very
and
much.
I'm sure I'll be back. But thank you, Eleanor. For
all the very best.
Thank you. I'm here with April from April's Table. Good. I don't even know what time of day it is. Good afternoon, April.
Good afternoon.
It's lovely to see you here. Now, April has the most gorgeous vegan creations, foodies. Food things here at Weybridge Market. How did you get into baking?
I guess I was a chef first, so baking is actually a new kind of passion of mine. I started out as a chef a couple of years ago, and then earlier on this year I decided to break away and do my own thing. And cakes always go down well, and I think it's the best entryway to introduce someone to vegan food.
You're absolutely right, because they're so delicious. I know you've got a range of gluten-free as well, which we can talk about in a minute. But why vegan?
Many reasons, really. I got interested in it to start with because of nutrition, and I'd studied nutrition. I went to university, and it'd always been a passion of mine. And the more I looked at it, the more I learned about how cutting certain things out and trying to include more plant foods was really beneficial to you. And then eventually, a few years down the line, I've started to look more about the ethical side, the environmental side, and they all just added up, and that was the point I decided, okay, it's the right thing to do. And I tried it. It wasn't too difficult, surprisingly. Yeah, and I've stuck with it since, and it's been really interesting to learn cooking in a different way.
So when you were a chef, you were cooking meat?
No, sorry, I should have said that. When I was a chef, I was always cooking vegan. But I have cooked my whole life, and I studied cooking at school, and I was always very heavily into the meat. And then after I got into nutrition, I then turned to vegan.
Okay, and you're right, because the more plant-based foods we eat, the more alkaline our body is. And the more alkaline your body is, you can't get really sick, can you?
That's the theory, basically. More plant foods, more antioxidants, just vitamins, lots of fiber. You're in a good place.
And lots of water. I always tell people to drink lots of water. Okay, so you've got gluten-free products here as well. And tell us why. I mean, I think everyone should be gluten-free. Clearly, that will probably never happen. But tell us why gluten-free.
Well, first of all, so that everyone can try my cakes, because people are intolerant these days and they need cake as well. But yes, definitely, you can get some healthier flours. So typically, I would use something like oat, rice and coconut flour as a blend. And then you're getting more fiber, you're getting more healthy fats, it's more protein in them. It's just a win-win situation. And as long as you can, you know, I played around my cake recipes and you get a similar texture and it tastes just as delicious and you've got more nutrition in there. And that's why I would always use it.
Absolutely right. And I have tried two of the gluten-free creations here today and they are absolutely delicious. So if you're around in Weybridge, will you be here when they have their next market?
Yes, I'm at the next one as well.
Okay, so if you miss it today, and come down when they have their next Weybridge market and look out for April's table, all her vegan creations, and try them, because I can assure you they are absolutely delicious. April, what's your website?
It is www.aprilstable.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm here with Mark from A Pinch of This. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
It's great to see you here today. You're at the Weybridge Market and you're selling gluten-free delicious products.
I certainly am, yes. We're selling gluten-free brownies, French macarons, and we did earlier have a range of savoury quiches as well, but they've all gone.
Okay, I'm not surprised. Tell us how you got into your business.
I've always had a passion for cooking and food and flavours, and I got an opportunity about 3 years ago, after taking a redundancy package from my last company, to start my own business. And I decided that I wanted to start up something that I was passionate about. Gluten-free was getting very popular at the time, and it was something that I wanted to explore, especially because I had a lot of friends who have become gluten-free over the years. And I started baking both glutinous food and non-gluten food, and the best response was for the gluten-free food. So I decided to make that my USP.
Hey, that's amazing, and it looks good. I'm sure it tastes good. And tell us the nutritional benefits of being gluten-free.
So the main nutritional benefits are for people who are allergic to or sensitive to gluten. If you are, I guess if you're a celiac, then you have the possibility of getting gut inflammation and a lot of gut issues, and it can be quite serious. So if you are celiac, then you should have a gluten-free diet. Otherwise, people like to use gluten-free foods to introduce other grains into their diet as well. So we use 5 different grains in our flour mix, and so it's not just one wheat-based product that we're using.
Okay, and so a lot of the other grains that you use are actually much healthier, aren't they, than sort of flour anyway?
Yeah, I think it comes down to everything in moderation rather than eating lots and lots of one type of thing. So I think as a nation we eat quite a lot of wheat. We have toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, and then some maybe bread and soup in the evening or whatever. And exactly. So we eat a lot of wheat-based products, and I think over the years the gluten has increased in wheat, especially because farmers are now trying to get higher product yield from their wheat, and as a result the gluten has gone up. And so in the last 30 years I think it's over doubled. Yeah, I mean, we use a lot of different flours and a lot of different products, so it just encourages that varied diet.
Okay, and if people want to find you and come and buy and sample your products, where can they find you over the next couple of months?
Next weekend, we're down in Kew Village. We do a regular monthly market at Kew Village, so the first Sunday of every month. After that, it's really sporadic for us. You can buy direct from us through our website. We do supply a number of places wholesale. So Nikki's Cafe at the end of the road here in Weybridge, they buy a lot of our gluten-free products. And we sell to places in Hampton Hill and down in Guildford as well. So
okay, that's great. So if people want to buy online, what's your website?
It's www.pinchofthis.co.uk.
Brilliant. Mark, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks very much.
I'm here with some of the judges from today's Great Weybridge Cake Off. And we have the lovely Ruth Langsford.
Hello, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. And everybody listening, you know Ruth is on This Morning and Loose Women, amongst many other things. So is a regular on our screens, and we're delighted to have you down here today. We also have Robert from Waitrose.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
Great to have you here. And Dorinda.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is it still morning? I'm not sure. Anyway, these three people are three of the six people who have been judging the cakes here today. And there were 73 entries, which is incredible. So you must have had a really difficult job. So, ladies and gentlemen, please tell me, how was it?
Well, firstly, what's not to like eating cake, you know? So when they asked me would I come, I was like, let me think, what else could I do on a Saturday morning? Eat cake, yes, I'm there. No, it was a very, very difficult job because I don't know if you saw the cakes, but the standard was very, very high. And we were particularly impressed with the under 12 category in all the different bakes, you know, the celebration cakes, the family cakes. You know, it's so nice to see young people getting involved in baking. And you feel really harsh, actually, because anybody that just bakes the cake, I think it's a really great thing to do. I can't bake very well. I like to cook, but I can't bake. So just to see the effort that everyone had gone to, it was hard to judge. But we had different things. We were looking at creativity and flair, presentation, and obviously taste. So it was a combination of the three things that made the winners, really. But it was very, very enjoyable too.
Dorinda?
We just found it hard. There were some cakes that looked amazing, but the taste wasn't quite there, and some that tasted amazing but didn't look great. And the variety of them was amazing. It was great. It was good to see.
And Robert?
Well, for me, the outstanding thing is the support. So many people came today, and the number of cakes is amazing. We weren't expecting that many. So, and as both Ruth and Davinda said, the standard was just amazing. You know, it was brilliant. So well done to all of them.
Okay, and I have to say, from what I've seen, they've been incredible. I haven't been lucky enough to taste any yet, but maybe I won't need as big a detox.
I'll go and find you a cake now.
Maybe I won't need as big a detox this week as the rest of you.
I don't think I'll need to eat for a week now.
Oh, well, thank you all so much for joining us today, and we hope to see you all soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye. We're sort of at the end of the Great Weybridge Cake Off and the market. It's been a very busy day down here, particularly during the obviously the marking and the judging, and then the awards. Great many prizes, huge number of cakes entered. 73 cakes entered today, which was brilliant. And James is actually eating quite a few of them now, just to help out, you understand, not because he wants them really. So it's been a good day. I hope they've made the money that they wanted to. The money was going to charity was, of course, Great Ormond Street Hospital here today. So well done to everybody who's been here at the Weybridge event today. And good luck for the ones they're going to do in the future.
Brooklands Radio.
loving events in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.